The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here to talk about my favorite soap and hopefully yours too. It's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. February is Think Spring Month at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their Soap for Squares traditional soap set. There's nothing particularly hilarious or odd about these soaps. It's just a four-pack of fancy wooden printing block soaps, making each one a substantial slab of suds. Only $20 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. Let's start the show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
My neck is killing me. I got cancer. I've had it for years. I've been working with Mike, you know, trying to find a cure.
Did you ever work for the CIA?
You make it sound like some remote f***ing experience in ancient history. Man, you don't leave the agency. Once you're in, they got you for life.
Shaw?
Shaw? Shaw's an untouchable. Highest clearance. Shaw? Oswald, the Cubans, all agency.
About Ruby?
Jack was a pimp. He was a bagman for the Dallas mob. He used to run guns to Castro when he was still on our side. We almost had Castro with us, then we tried to whack him. Everybody's flipping sides all the time. It's fun and games, man, fun and games.
What's the mob, Dave? How do they figure this?
The agency too, man. CIA and the mafia working together, trying to whack out the beard, mutual interest. They've been doing it for years. This boy, this thing you could dream. Well, check out something called Mongoose, Operation Mongoose.
Mongoose?
Government, Pentagon stuff. They're in charge. But who the f*** pulls whose chain? Who the f*** knows? Oh, what a deadly web we weave when we practice the deceit.
Then who killed the president?
Oh, man, why don't you f***ing stop it? This is too f***ing big for you. You know that? This is... Who did the president? Who killed... man, it's a mystery. It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma. The f***ing shooters don't even know. Don't you get it? Man, I can't keep talking like this. You're gonna f***ing kill me. I'm gonna f***ing die.
Making your day a little brighter is quite enough for us.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska, and that's David Ferry sitting right over there.
Yes, it is.
What's great about that clip from JFK is it's how Pesci goes from Southern weirdo to basically all of his mafia characters in the span of about a minute and a half. All right, we are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link in the podcast page where you'll get free legal advice from Charles Bowen. It's worth its weight in gold, especially if you're being sued. Okay, everything in the world is happening simultaneously today. There's a gazillion big stories. I'm like, okay, well, today's going to be only about the Senate Republicans and the Supreme Court nominee, the would-be Obama Supreme Court nominee to replace Antonin Scalia, but it turned out, well, it's not going to be just that. We're going to have a whole pile of crap to talk about today. Hopefully, we'll get to all of it. If we don't, our apologies. We'll just bump it over to the post-mortem show, which you can hear at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. For the low, low monthly subscriber fee of $5. It's a bargain at twice the price. We pass the savings along to you. Okay, so actually there's not one, but three major stories happening simultaneously today. Supreme Court thing with the Senate Republicans and Mitch McConnell. The Republican Nevada, or as Bernie Sanders says, Nevada caucus happens today on the Republican side. Plus, Obama's trying again to close Guantanamo Bay, which most of the time is met with this. Because no one wants the terrorists in their backyard. Even Senator Bernie Sanders from the great state of Vermont doesn't want the terrorists in his backyard. So we've got all of these three things. We're going to try to cover
why his backyard is full of vegans. I think the terrorists there would be pretty impressive. They might actually do some good.
That's right. So let's start. First of all, there's the Nevada caucus tonight. Trump is easily going to win. That's all we really have to say about that. Trump is easily going to march to victory in Nevada or Nevada. Yeah. Trump is easily, by the way, going to march to victory in a bunch of additional states. It's like, there's no real like, oh, what's going to happen next? There's no anticipation whatsoever in terms of what's going to happen over the next several weeks as far as the primaries and caucuses go.
I was in Vegas over the weekend for my daughter's big dance competition, something that she was in. And driving out of town, I think it's the South Point Casino. Uh-huh. It's like the first, when you're on the 15 going north to Vegas, it's like, like one of the first casinos you pass that's kind of isolated from the strip.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, the big marquee out front, and it said in big flashing letters, Trump for president. Huge, huge marquee.
Oh, did it say puppet show and Trump for president?
Puppet show and Trump for president. Yeah, something like that.
If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Trump for president first, puppet show second. All right, we're going to talk about Trump here, too, as far as what he, I mean, my God, what he said about this NBC News reporter, which you wrote about for the Daily Banter today, Chez.
Yeah, it happened months ago. That's the best part.
Yeah.
NBC did nothing about it.
They did nothing about it. And thank God that, was it Katie Turr from NBC News?
Yeah.
That the crowd of Trump disciples and weirdos didn't turn on her and, like, tar and feather her and ride her out on a rail. Like, literally,
because
like on a rail.
This is what he does. Yeah. You know, I wrote about it back in January. I don't know if anybody remembers this. It was a tiny thing in the sort of pantheon of Trump bad behavior. Mm-hmm. But he picked on a camera guy.
Yeah.
Like, there was a camera guy at one of his rallies, and the camera obviously is pointing directly at Trump. He's on a podium.
Yeah, yeah.
And Trump's like, see, they never pan around to show the crowd. They never pan around to show how big the crowd is. You need to pan around. Like, as if he is this photographer's boss.
Yeah.
You know, f*** you, dude. I don't work for you. But he obviously doesn't move it. And so, of course, the crowd, you know, he starts insulting the guy, and the mm-hmm. crowd digs into him. And it's the same thing that happened with Katie Turr.
Yeah, you know, I guess we could talk about this now before we move on to the Supreme Court and everything else. You know, I've never seen it this bad before, where the followers of the Democratic and Republican front runners, plural, are so rabid and insane and cult-like.
Well, you're not talking the front runner on the Democrats being Bernie Sanders?
Well, no. I mean, I think there's a certain amount of that on the Hillary side, and I think there's obviously we've seen it more often on the Sanders side. But,
oh my God,
but
yes.
on the Republican side, there's certainly that. You certainly got that kind of thing going on with at least Donald Trump, if not Donald Trump and Ted Cruz.
Oh, you absolutely do.
Where,
yeah, this is terrifying. Yeah. And that's why I think that the vast majority of Americans, I truly believe, are somewhere in the middle. And I'm hoping they're disgusted by all of this.
Yeah, yeah, really. And you know what? I mean, I'm saying this as someone who has been labeled for the last 8 years, and I've had to swat this down nearly every time, labeled as an Obama bot. In fact, yep. I was about to make that like just my cover photo, and just like today, like I was going to make it like my just Obama bot as my cover photo, and then see how many people like and share it, because right. I suspect now everyone's an Obama bot. Everyone, the people who are saying Obama's worse than Bush, Obama bots probably right now. Because
actually, not really, because if you look at the people who are supporting Bernie Sanders, I published a piece on Bernie yesterday again, like, and I, you know, the funny thing is I don't do it to get traffic, but it is, they are invariably big traffic getters.
Yeah.
And I was reading, you know, I try not to read through the hundreds and hundreds of comments that appear on those things because it's so depressing. But I happen to take a look, and yeah, there are people who are just you know, Obama's he may as well be a Republican.
Yeah.
That's
why you're voting
for Bernie, because you think that this man who is undeniably liberal is just not liberal enough for you, you fucking unicorn hunter.
Well, the fact of the matter is that they've, from my experience, they've been pretty good about not naming the O word, not actually saying Obama throughout this. What they've been doing instead is what's been driving me nuts, and I've made... you know, I haven't been hedging on this at all. I've certainly been very honest about this. But no, it's just like the idea has been that that we're dealing with an economic hellscape now as part of Obama's legacy. Like, we hear this every time. Like, it's just like doom and gloom. Like, everyone's out of work. The unemployment, well, it's not the actual unemployment rate. It's the real unemployment rate. And so, you know, we're hearing a lot about that, which is something new to me. When you come out of a successful presidency of your own party, you use that as sort of a platform and a springboard to your own candidacy because you're of the same party. Why not? It's smart politics, but we're not seeing that now. So
Bernie is not something to always keep in mind. Bernie is not actually a Democrat. He is not a Democrat, period.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he's outside of that that club, and that's true. I mean, he is running as a Democrat, so I think there is something to be said for that. But I don't think they consider him part of the Democratic, you know, quote unquote establishment, and I don't think they ever will. So I mean, and that doesn't work in his favor. That certainly works against his candidacy at this point. But This is why, I mean, it's this cult of personality thing that's going on all sides, more so than I've ever seen it before, which is why something like what Trump said about Katie Turr from NBC News becomes dangerous, because you never know, especially on the Republican side, where everyone's got a sidearm now, it seems. Everyone's walking through Target with AR-15s strapped across their backs. This sort of thing makes me nervous. All right, here's Trump attacking Katie Turr from NBC News.
I had one the other day where I finished the speech and they said, oh, Trump was interrupted and he left early. Like, I spoke like for 45, 50 minutes. I then answered questions, and then I went around and did, you know, everybody knew it was false. Amazingly, this.
By the way, doesn't he sound like almost like a Borscht Belt comedian here?
Yeah, oh, he does.
He sounds like he's performing like in a little club circuit on the East Coast. I don't know why. Suddenly it struck me that he sounds like a bad stand-up comedian. I have no idea where that came from, but it kind of sounds like that.
There's a media group that calls the media, and the next day they did the most beautiful story about what a lie it was from NBC. She's back there. Little Katie. She's back there. What a lie it was.
Listen to that crowd of frothing idiots.
Yep, exactly. That's a great way to describe them. They are a crowd of rabid, frothing idiots.
They are the townspeople from The Simpsons.
Yep.
They suddenly, by the way, they all bring their torches and pitchforks and tomatoes and eggs everywhere they go, ready for an occasion like this. Ready to form like a posse, to form a lynch mob, go after anyone that Trump says, well, that guy, that person back there, Katie Turr, is an idiot and she did something terrible. Kill her!
Loud noises!
No, what a lie. Katie Turr, what a lie it was from NBC to have written that was a total lie. And they did a story where they, I didn't know they had a group like this, where they actually criticized the media. And they said it was a total lie. And I loved it. I loved it. And then other people pick it up. You know, it's NBC, so somebody picks it up. Third-rate reporter. Remember that. Third-rate. Third-rate.
This is what a President Trump would be like. It would be just, you know, you think Nixon had an enemies list?
Mm.
He would have national news conferences just to bitch about who has offended him this week, insulted him.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be doing primetime addresses, like from 8 to 8:45 once a week, talking about all of his enemies, putting them down. Just stream of consciousness yammering.
Exactly.
That's all
his rallies ever are.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, you know what? I'm so torn. I'm so torn between being entertained by Trump and just despising him and being freaked out by him. Because on one hand, when he's going on the attack, say, against Jeb Bush, you know, when he starts to hit Jeb Bush, And poor old Jeb. And we won't get to see this anymore because Jeb is out of the race. But poor old Jeb Bush just stands there and takes it. Tries so hard to hit Trump, but then Trump hits back, and it's like, wow, he really walked right into that one, didn't he?
Yeah, please clap.
And it, please
clap.
Yeah, there you go. And so that is really entertaining to me. On the other hand, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like watching a really good but really gory horror movie. It's like, on one hand, boy, this is entertaining. On the other hand, it's like, ew, did they really have to do that?
Yeah.
But with this, it's far worse because the ramifications can be disastrous when it comes to Donald Trump. You just don't want that appeal to translate into general election votes. And I know, I mean, there are many other people who have far worse taste than me in entertainment who will absolutely vote for this guy as, you know, unironically for president of the United States. And that is terrifying. If you are in the DC media, it's going to be open season on your goddamn heads.
Yep.
And Trump is going to order it. I mean, Trump is going to make you the target. If you're a member of the DC press corps, I'm talking to our friend Tommy Christopher now, too. Be like, he'll be in the line of fire. Everybody will be in the line of fire. Donald Trump is unstoppable, and he doesn't care.
Nope.
Now, I was thinking about this the other day. I really hope that the Hillary Clinton people and the Bernie Sanders people have a whole game plan mapped out, something that they've gamed out over and over again as to how to run against Donald Trump, because they're not going to be able to run the traditional campaign against this guy.
No, they're not.
They have to figure out the calculus as far as how to dodge him. Otherwise, it's going to be Jeb Bush all over again. It's just going to be constantly, certainly in the debates, but also on the stump, too, where
please clap.
We'll be like, oh, Jeb Bush was not Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush was a warm up to what Donald Trump will do to Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. So
right.
I hope what they're doing, the Clinton campaign and the Sanders campaign, I hope they're looking at Donald Trump. I hope they're consulting with Hollywood reality show producers, especially. I think they would do extraordinarily well to talk to people like, quite frankly, people like you, Chez, who edit reality programming and know how these storylines are constructed. And that's how you defeat Donald Trump. You don't talk.
It's so sad that we have really been brought down to his level.
Yeah. And I hope they're ready to compete on the reality show level. How do you compete against a reality show bully? I forget exactly where I saw this. Maybe it was Lawrence O'Donnell. Somewhere on MSNBC, they were talking about the reality show structure and how people like Donald Trump on reality shows are always the most popular characters. The anti-heroes, the villains on these shows are often the ones who people like the most. And how do you circle around that in order to make your point and become successful? It's kind of a mystery, and I think only the reality show people know the answer to that. It's a shame that we're having to recommend this, but it's kind of a thing now, and it's all due to Donald Trump. It's all due, I think, in a lot of respects, it's due to the Republican Party. I think if you talk about
Hillary doesn't take a lot of
True. That is absolutely true, and I don't think Bernie Sanders would either. I think Bernie Sanders would be more vulnerable to Donald Trump because he's newer, less well-known, and therefore more open to Donald Trump's style of attack, which could be very, very bad. We're going to get into this a little more. We're going to talk about also President Obama's new plan for closing Guantanamo Bay. But first, we're going to talk about this. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Most of us, men and women, have no choice but to rake our skin almost every day with razor blades. Think about that. Razor blades, like a set of razor blades on a plastic stick. And we rake that across our face or else we look terrible. But the catch is that razors can often make us look like hell, too. I get razor burn all the time. And there's nothing like leaving the house looking like Deadpool under his mask. Again, it's like Dick Cheney shot me in the face when I get razor burn. But now there's hope with Harry's Razors. 5-blade German-engineered excellence without the middleman to jack up the prices. Go to Harry's.com and pick up Harry's starter set. It's an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 razor blades. Best of all, I've been shaving with Harry's for weeks now with no razor burn, just a smooth, close shave every time. That feels awesome. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits, and you don't have to worry if you drop your Harry's razor in the shower because it'll all snap right back together. Go to harrys.com and enter the promo code BANDC, that's BNC for Bob and Chez, and get $5 off your first Harry's shave. $5. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face and your legs with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to our Tuesday show. Thank you for joining us at Patreon.com/Bob and Chez. All right, so we're talking about Trump. We're talking about the Supreme Court fracas. We're talking about Guantanamo Bay today. And, of course, we can't avoid all the crap going on with the primaries, especially on the Democratic side. So let's get into the other big story of the day, which is the Republicans threatening to, not threatening. I mean, they basically pledged to not take up Obama's nominee.
They're not going to do their jobs. What else is new?
Yep. They're not going to do their job. I mean, for the first time in at least 100 years, the Senate is refusing to take up a Supreme Court nominee during the final year of
the people, because the people have to have their say. They had their say.
They had their say. They chose the president, knowing that the president nominates Supreme Court justices. They also had their say as far as the makeup of the Senate, where, yeah, okay, the president can make his choice on the Supreme Court, but the Senate has the power of advice and consent, so we're going to make that Republican. So we're going to do that. And so here we are. President hasn't even come up with a name yet. And the Republicans are like, not going to do it. And this is going to backfire so badly on them. I mean, they hate Obama so much, or at least they're pretending to hate Obama so much for the benefit of their Fox News yokels and their AM talk radio minion.
Yep.
They hate him so much that they're willing to risk Bernie Sanders becoming president and nominating a Supreme Court justice. With a Democratic Congress, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all within the realm of possibility. Say Bernie Sanders gets the nomination. Bernie Sanders wins the presidency, and he's got big coattails, and suddenly the Democrats control the Senate. Who do you think Bernie Sanders is going to put up? He's not going to put up a moderate, I assure you.
Ralph Nader.
Ralph Nader. Barack Obama, for that matter. Barack Obama. Maybe the first president to go from the presidency to the Supreme Court since Taft did it. And it's entirely possible. That's the gamble they're taking. And it's remarkable that they're taking that big a risk. This could backfire colossally against them. I've never seen anything this stupid.
Honestly, Obama should just make a recess appointment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And he's got a big gap. There has to be a recess of at least 3 days in order for him to do that.
Yep. And just make a recess appointment. There, I have just you people.
Exactly. And that big recess is going to come up somewhere around July 18th that lasts through Labor Day. So Obama's going to have like a month and a half basically to nominate a Supreme Court justice whilst the Senate is out of session. And then they come back after Labor Day and they're only in session for about a month. So good luck with that. And what if Obama nominates someone who is universally beloved? I mean, there's very little chance of that because, right, you know, Supreme Court nominees, effective ones, are somewhat unknown. But what if he does that? What if he goes in and throws this candidate at them, nominee? It's like Judge Judy. Like, say Obama nominates Judge Judy. Everyone loves Judge Judy. Hell, I think she's hot for an old lady. But I mean,
all right, you just crossed a line there that
maybe I did. I'm so sorry, but the fact of the matter is, she is kind of cute in her Judge Judy way. But I mean, imagine if she's nominated, and then everyone goes, "Yeah, well, that's pretty good." And then so the Republicans are stuck. I mean, that's the remotest possibility. But I mean, a recessed appointment is very much within the realm of possibility on this. Plus, I mean, it's just you're running the risk of incurring the wrath of the American people. 56% of the American people support allowing Obama to do what always happens, which is to nominate a Supreme Court justice to fill a vacancy.
Yeah, I mean, this is certainly the good thing about this. If there is a good thing,
yeah,
is that this undeniably, and it's good that it's actually happening in the last year of his presidency.
Right.
But this is something that's undeniable. Like people look at this and go, all right, they're genuinely obstructing him. This is they're just saying, we're not going to let you do your job. And I'm glad that they can't get out of it. Like, this is what they're doing. There's no spin to it.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it comes down to not just hating Obama and pandering to their people by stopping that Negro in the White House from doing what he's supposed to do according to the Constitution, Article 2. But also it's about the little fetuses. It's about saving all the zygotes, because they know that the zygotes are threatened if they allow anyone even close to being moderate, center left, whatever, is going to uphold Roe v. Wade. That's going to be something that's going to last through the next generation if Obama nominates the next justice to fill Antonin Scalia's seat. And that's something that absolutely terrifies them. If they're seen as capitulating to Barack Obama on this, of all things, they know that they could be in serious trouble back home with their people. But the fact is that some things transcend politics, and this is something that has always, at least in the last century plus, has always transcended politics.
But I mean, there have been here we are.
I mean, there, once you get into the confirmation process, that's all bets are off, and we have a shovel fight, and hopefully we have a justice come out the other side. But as far as actually taking up a nominee, that there's no politics in that. It's just like you do your goddamn job.
Yep.
President nominates a Supreme Court justice. The Senate offers advice and consent, hearings to determine whether or not that Supreme Court justice is worthy. It's just the way it always works. By the way, not only do 56% of the American people support this process going forward as it always has, 56% of independents, the people who are going to swing this election, agree that Barack Obama should be allowed to nominate and the Senate should be forced to take up hearings on that nominee.
They're thwarting him as president.
Yeah.
And these people who proclaim to, you know, claim to jerk off with the Constitution.
Right. Right. Pleasant. I can only see Mitch McConnell jerking off in front of a copy of the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Making his sleestack noise, making his Did I just do that? Did I really just do that on the show?
Yes, you did.
Did I just do a sleestack and on the Constitution? I think I did.
Awesome.
I think we need to put the explicit tag back on the show for the benefit of iTunes people. Anyway, so we have that. We have so many possibilities, so many different roads for the president to take in order to do this. I think the president ultimately holds all the cards on this. You know, the fact of the matter is, just sticking with the 8-justice Supreme Court lineup right now, any decision comes down to 4-4. It goes back to the lower courts, and whatever the lower courts ruled stands. So that could actually undermine all kinds of conservative rulings, any potential conservative rulings that Scalia's presence would have given us. So it's a massive roll of the dice, and all I can see as far as motivation for this is just a matter of pandering to the anti-choice radicals on the Republican side. There's no other explanation for this. It's just like, we're going to stick it to Obama one last time. Oh, and by the way, we're going to protect the zygotes too. Of course, after they're birthed, they're on their own. But as long as they're zygotes, we're going to hold up Supreme Court nominations just to make sure that they're not aborted and whatever, when they're just still like a clump of cells. It's un-effing believable. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about Guantanamo here in just a second. A whole other layer of obstruction against Barack Obama. We're going to talk about that right after a quick break, back after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez Show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Sleep
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon.com, enter that site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing. You go shopping, you save money, and you help support the show. Thank you for that. Okay, so President Obama announced today that he's continuing his effort to try to close Guantanamo Bay, and he laid out a detailed plan in order to do that. It involves relocating some detainees to other countries where they were scheduled to go anyway, and also transferring prisoners to onto U.S. soil into like supermax prisons, which no one wants, even though there are already terrorists in supermax prisons. I mean, there are mass murderers, yeah. The worst people in the world, far worse than anyone at Guantanamo Bay, quite honestly. Terrible, terrible people are in supermax prisons in your backyard. I mean, I know that's scary, but it's true. So we can only imagine that now Congress, again, is not going to allot the money needed to transfer those prisoners from Guantanamo Bay, which is a foreign policy nightmare, over to supermax prisons. Transfer is going to cost about $290 million, upwards of $475 million. While housing remaining detainees in the United States would be $65 million to $85 million, less expensive than at the Cuba facility, meaning that the transfer bill would be offset in 3 to 5 years. Save lots of money. And you can bet the Republicans will thwart that, along with a crap load of Democrats. Get ready for the whole NIMBY argument. Not in my backyard, NIMBY. That's going to happen again. And I'll be interested to see where Bernie Sanders votes this time. Last time he voted against it.
So. I don't know, man. I'm telling you.
I don't know.
set the terrorists up in some kind of Burlington co-op.
That's right.
They'll be wishing to God they had never threatened the United States.
Obviously, no one wants to be the leader who authorized the transfer of terrorists into, you know, the backyards of ordinary American people.
But they won't be. Yeah. They're going to supermax facilities.
Yeah. Although I should say that Bernie Sanders praised Barack Obama's proposal to shut down the military detention center at Guantanamo Bay. Mm. So he said, "I am encouraged to see that the president is sending Congress a plan to shut down the Guantanamo Bay prison. As I have said for years, the prison at Guantanamo must be closed as quickly as possible." Others, including
the prison at Guantanamo, needs to be broken up, just like the big banks. And there you somehow brings it all back to wealth inequality.
Yes, that's absolutely right. The thing is, though, when it happened last time and he had a chance to vote, he voted against it. And by the way, he took a shot at Hillary Clinton on Guantanamo Bay. He said, "Others, including my opponent, have not always agreed with me that Guantanamo should be closed as quickly as possible." In 2009, Bernie voted against the proposals the Obama administration suggested for closing the prison. The bill was defeated with strong bipartisan support, 90-6. Given Bernie's human rights concerns regarding the facility, he likely voted against it because the plans did not address the human rights violations, including being held indefinitely without trial, that he and so many other Americans are most concerned about with regards to Guantanamo. So that's it. I mean, and this is, you know, this is one of the reasons why there have only been two presidents who were senators prior to their presidency. And it's because votes are very complicated. Votes can come about for a number of reasons, not just based upon the top line content of a particular bill. There can be amendments added that can be poison pills that force people to vote against things. Right. So I'm not going to say that unequivocally Bernie Sanders hates the idea of closing Guantanamo Bay, at least from what he said. It's based upon the fact that the plan did not involve correcting human rights violations. So we'll take him at his word and go along with that. But it's always possible that it was a NIMBY thing. So
could be.
We'll see what happens this time around. See if see how he votes on this one. So moving along here. Ben Carson has gone nuts again. There was a long time.
Again?
Yeah, well, no. I mean, for a while, he had gone nuts, and now he's just, he went, like, into hibernation. for a little bit there. And then emerged and started going nuts again the past couple of days. First of all, he still thinks he's got a shot at getting the nomination. He referenced the tortoise and the hare analogy.
Right.
Which, good luck with that. You know, did I
You know what? That's perfect for him, though.
Yeah, that's absolutely perfect.
It's because the tortoise, he moves very slowly.
Yes,
that's
he does.
What he does. He's moving very, very slowly. So slowly, in fact, that 8 years from now, I'm still going to be running for president. I'm just bringing up the rear. I'll get you. I'm going to get you.
If he keeps campaigning, maybe by 2024, he'll be ready. He'll finally overtake. Here I am. I finally overtook Trump in the polls, and it's only 2024. I told you. That's 8 years to you and me. But he went nuts. And we're gonna take a break and then come back, and we're going to talk about how nuts Ben Carson has become right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Please clap.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Please clap.
All right, welcome back to the show. This just in, your buddy Adam Baldwin has evidently quit Twitter.
Oh, what a shame.
I know. Who will you fight on Twitter now? Jesus Christ.
It's just so sad because I'm such a fan of his on Firefly.
Yeah, I know. Poor, put-upon, persecuted actor Adam Baldwin has scurried away from Twitter, taking his toys and going home, as it were, in protest of the social media platform's new Trust and Safety Council. Don't let the doorknob hit you on the way out, dude. Baldwin has left his Twitter account open to continue to be validated by his number of Twitter followers, but has deleted all but the above tweet. He tweeted, "Hi, Twitter, fire at Jack." I don't know who at Jack is. "And disband the Trust and Safety Council. Here's why." And then he has a link to the Federalist, and I guess this has something to do with the Twitter Trust and Safety Council.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Twitter had announced the creation of a Trust and Safety Council, to which it appointed Anita Sarkeesian, a female known for denouncing sexism.
Sarkeesian. Yeah.
Known for denouncing sexism in video games.
She is a piece of work.
So this is associated with Gamergate in some way?
Sarkeesian's thing is she does these series of videos picking apart video games.
I see.
For the existence of these sort of anti-feminist tropes in video games. And so she's really despised by the sort of gaming misogyny community.
Did I notice the other day?
I mean, for the record, she is kind of a purveyor of preachy bull.
Yeah. Well, from what I read, I thought that there are now officially more women gamers than men.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Which is fascinating to me.
I don't see why anyone would think that's necessary. It's necessary to get all bent out of shape about that.
Right.
But. I guess it's, guys thinking that the world of video games is their territory, which, I think is ridiculous.
So moving along here, Ben Carson has gone nuts. He said today that instead of waterboarding, maybe we should use truth serum on detainees. He was asked about the Guantanamo Bay plan.
Sodium pentothal?
I think he references something different, some other truth serum. And the fact of the matter is the truth serum doesn't really work.
Right.
That's kind of generally agreed upon. Like, people have fake memories, things right. that they just blurt out while they're under the influence of quote-unquote truth serum. And so it produces unreliable intelligence.
Only,
probably.
But only somebody like Ben Carson would think that that's a thing.
I know. But the thing is, though, did you see Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago where he had Armstrong Williams on his panel? Armstrong Williams is one of Ben Carson's senior advisors.
I know. And Armstrong Williams is a paid-for hack.
World-class hack. I mean, yep. Everything he said. I mean, here's my impression of Armstrong Williams. You know who we ought to go after? Those fat cats in Washington. It's just like, yeah. What? That's the kind of advice that he's getting. Get those fat cats. It's that kind of hack political yeah. advice. I can name a bunch of other people who I consider to be political hacks, who say the most ordinary, mundane, predictable things, who have no insight whatsoever about politics, and yeah. then end up compensating for that by coming up with crazy crap like, oh, we should try truth serum.
Detainees. Just, yeah, that's like everything about that is like he saw that on an episode of the $6 Million Man once.
Right. Here's Ben Carson.
I saw, I was watching a rerun of no, you wouldn't even say a rerun. I was watching an episode of that show Quincy the other day. And you know, Quincy was, they were using a truth serum on Quincy to get him to talk.
Right.
I was taken aback because there is this truth serum. But in the end Quincy figured out who the murderer was. But first he was drugged with this truth serum.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's like,
if that's
I mean
what
that's
happened.
That in all seriousness, that's like you know what? Honestly, we should start turning our foreign policy over to whatever the Scooby-Doo kids do.
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
I take all my advice for fighting terrorism from Scooby-Doo.
That's right. What we ought to do is the CIA, from now on, should be equipped with Scooby snacks. So I think... if we just go around to all our detention facilities and all of our black sites across the world, that we give them Scooby snacks. Because, you know, Scooby snacks, it worked out really kind of good for
Shaggy.
Yes,
we should totally. Truth serum and other 70s TV tropes. I'd like you to meet my nominee for ambassador to the UN, Mr. Roper. Mr. Roper? I was going to choose Mr. Furley, but I think Mr. Roper's better, don't you?
I'm more of a Furley man myself, actually. No, he would totally be a Mr.
Norman,
Roper.
Norman Fell doing like the exaggerated limp-wristed thing.
Yeah, right.
That you could never get away with now.
And then you do the, we break the fourth wall and do the rapid zoom in on
exactly, the mug to the camera.
Truth serum. Go right in on Norman Vell.
Yep.
I support truth serum and I will not have sex with my wife. That was his whole thing. The Ropers got a spinoff. They got their own TV series.
Based entirely on first of all, Three's Company, everything about that show was based on a misunderstanding.
That's right.
Every single week.
Yeah.
And yes, the Ropers were basically, I won't fuck my wife.
Exactly right. That was the whole thing.
She wants to have sex with Norman Fell for some, like, obviously accidentally hit on the head with a bucket at some point.
I know.
Because she wants to f*** Norman Fell.
That's right. Somehow Norman Fell is super attractive to Mrs. Roper. Yeah. It's like, Stanley, why won't we have sex? And he's like, I don't want to have sex with you.
Yeah, that's it. Right. Cue the laugh track.
Right. That's exactly it.
Jeffrey Tambor was on.
Yes, he was. He was on the Ropers spinoff show. That's exactly right. He
was a terrible show.
He was like the villain. He was like their Mr. Roper. He was like the Mr. Roper to Mr. Roper. All right, so here's boy, that was a tangent. Here's Ben Carson
this
talking about.
This is why millennials don't give a f- about this show.
I know. They're like, Mister, what the hell? What? All right, here's Ben Carson talking about truth serum.
We need to be looking at evidence. When you make decisions based on ideology and not on evidence, they inevitably turn out to be wrong.
By the way, that's inevitably.
Inevitably.
So the numbers we have, just to be clear for our viewers here, are that three former Gitmo detainees who were sent back to Yemen then went on to join AQAP. But moving on, I want to get your take on this. Last week at a campaign event in South Carolina, Donald Trump was asked about waterboarding, and he referred to it as, quote, sort of the least form of torture, or, quote, the minimal form. He then went on...
sort of the least form of torture. That is,
there he is, presidential material right
that's
there.
That's right. Your Republican frontrunner, ladies and gentlemen, sort of least form of torture. Donald Trump. Potentially your next president. Sort of least form of torture. What he said.
I suggest that the United States should perhaps go beyond waterboarding, use other methods of terror. And he said
Ben
at the
Carson,
end.
Carson, waterboarding.
Yeah, that's right.
That's his own form of torture.
We'll use that on detainees from now on. Waterboring.
Yeah, just have Ben Carson just go and sit with them all day.
Okay, detainee. I'll be your interrogator. My name is Dr. Ben Carson. I'm a neurosurgeon, presidential candidate. And by the way, I'll be your next president in 2028. Because slow and steady wins the race. Okay, so now you're going to tell me about the next terrorist attack while I read from this phone book. Okay, number one, Arnoldson, located at 489 Evergreen Terrace, phone number 707-451. Oh, you have it. You're going to talk now, are you? Oh, good. Tell us where the next terrorist is.
I will say anything. We'll say anything you want. No more boarding. No more boarding. No more lullaby.
Oh, thank you very much. See? Waterboarding, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my.
End of his remarks, quote, torture works. Do you agree with Mr. Trump on that?
I believe there are a number of ways to extract information, including... some medical ways of, putting people into a less than conscious state,
which is which exactly allows what information. Ben Carson does. You don't need truth serum. You've got Ben Carson.
Here's what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna put you in a less than conscious state.
I'm gonna put you in a less conscious state. Pop open your skull cap, take a nice big spoonful of your brain, fry it up for some fava beans, or as Bernie Sanders says, fava beans.
Farva beans. It's looking super troopers.
Yeah. Should to be extracted.
What do you mean, sir, by
humanely.
Medical? What do you mean by medical ways?
Well, the average person might understand it as truth serum. But,
you stupids think of it as truth serum.
Right, exactly. You Scooby-Doo viewers know it as truth serum.
That's right.
If you were watching season 2, episode 5 of my favorite show, Quincy, you'd know that truth serum is the most effective way to get into someone's brain and get them to talk. You know who's really good on that show? Jack Klugman.
That's right.
He was so funny. He played Oscar. The Odd Couple. And then this was his breakout role after The Odd Couple. Got his own series. Am I boring you yet? Are you ready to talk, Guantanamo detainee? I knew you were.
Shut up! Shut up the boring man! Shut up! He's so boring!
God. All right, well, we'll eventually get through all of this audio.
There are ways where you decrease a person's conscious defenses.
This is like he's walking right into it.
And the reporter right now is just like, trust me, I know.
That's right. Or the reporter herself is just completely hypnotized at this point. Just hypnotized from his voice.
Yeah. More willing to give up information.
What is truth serum? What is that?
Sodium amytal. But you know,
sodium pentothal or sodium amytal. One
sodium
or the
amytal.
By the way, that's sodium amytal is what they used in True Lies.
Oh,
so
right.
He probably. Yeah. I just saw. I was watching Spectrovision in my hotel room. I was staying at a Red Roof Inn. That's a great little place. A great little place.
Oh,
I had an ice machine right down the hall, and. And I watched this new movie, True Lies. It's very good. And they used sodium amytal.
You know the funniest thing about that movie? Is when Schwarzenegger says, "Get to the chopper." He's like, now I'm Ben Carson. For you, I'm going to do my Arnold Schwarzenegger impression from True Lies. Here we go. I'm flipping up my collar, messing up my hair. Just like the old-timey impressionists used to do. Here's my Arnold. Get to the chopper. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Ben Carson. Ben Carson basically doing an extended Ben Carson joke on CNN today.
Exactly.
That's really what he just did. So, Ben Carson thinks we should use truth serum on the tourists. You know who is opposed using truth serum, using any sort of drugs to get information?
I would say everyone.
Yeah, effing Donald Rumsfeld was opposed to using truth serum because it didn't work. It was just a stupid waste of time. So much so that Donald Rumsfeld didn't want to use it. Although he could have had other motivations, like the fact that he's a sadist. Also, by the way, Ben Carson said that Barack Obama isn't quite black enough.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. So Ben Carson and Cornel West in total agreement about Barack Obama not being black enough. Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson has faded in the primary race over the past few months, and many believe it's only a matter of time before his campaign comes to an end. In what appears to be the last-ditch effort to make headlines, Carson has gone on record to challenge President Obama's track record with African Americans. Ben Carson said he's an African American. He was, you know, raised white. Carson said, I mean, like most Americans, I was proud that we broke the color barrier when he was elected, but he didn't grow up like I grew up, Carson continued, referring to being raised by a single mother whose three jobs often weren't enough to avoid relying on government handouts to make ends meet. All right, so that's smart. That's a good observation. I'm glad that Ben Carson is getting all of his advice from Cornel West. And
Cornel West, what a fucking idiot.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
you know, and the sad thing is he's not an idiot. He's a very bright guy, but dear God.
Yeah, he's just, you know what? There are a lot. I mean, obviously the left has the market cornered on smart people. I mean, most of the smart people are on the left.
But he's a crank.
Yes, that's the problem. I would put him in the same ranks as Ralph Nader, you know, to a certain degree, Michael Moore, a lot of the, you know, I don't know, the fire eaters on the left. And there aren't, obviously, as many fire eaters on the left as there are on the right. But what happens is, you know, when Cornel West compares Hillary Clinton to Milli Vanilli,
right?
It's like, Milli Vanilli? Is there a where's the beef joke around the corner?
Exactly.
Is that what we're doing? I mean, as far as that went, it was like, all right, what we want to do is we want to support Bernie Sanders because, among many things, he's going to drag the Democratic Party establishment to the left. And as soon as the Democratic Party establishment starts to go left and starts to really embrace its inner progressive, then it's like, oh, well, they're just Milli Vanilli. They're just pretending. They don't mean it. Well, what do you expect them to do? What do you expect Hillary Clinton to do? Okay, yeah, you know what? Instead of running to the left, I'm now going to run to the right. My terrible Hillary Clinton impression, by the way. Thank you. That's the other alternative. Or she could just stay where she is. And the whole point of the Bernie Sanders candidacy, short of actually winning the nomination, is completely negated. Because, well, we're not supposed to do anything with the other candidates. We're not supposed to do anything about the establishment by way of convincing them to move to the left. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Ted Cruz's potential nominee for UN ambassador coming up on the Postmortem Show.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about how stupid the American people really, really are Once again, the budget deficit edition. That's coming up on the big postmortem show. We might also talk about Bernie v. Hillary a little bit. Plus, oh man, some positive cancer news. That's coming up on the postmortem show at patreon.com/Bob and Chess. Sign up, why don't you, and support the show. See you on the postmortem show. Bye-bye.
Bye.